That's true for every one of us. Trouble finds us. But the good news is, amidst the troubles, we can have victory as we put our faith in Jesus. There's a couple of verses I want to remind you of. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take courage. Take heart, I have overcome the world." 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. My encouragement to you is, put your faith in Jesus, and there you will find victory. Whatever the trouble is that you are facing, whatever name it has attached to it, whether it's COVID or heart attack or cancer or family issues or financial issues, whatever trouble it is that you are facing, you can have victory over that trouble as you put your faith in Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that everything's going to go your way, but you can have victory. Regardless of the outcome, you can have victory in Jesus. I want to talk to you about a man today whom we reference often as the father of our faith. That would be Abraham. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. If you have your Bibles, look there with me or follow with me on the screen. Chapter 4 of Romans, beginning with verse 18. "In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness." In my mind, that scripture from Romans 4 is one of the great scriptures in all of the Bible concerning the subject of faith. Let me share with you some insights about this great man of faith. First of all, Abraham trusted God amidst the impossible. Now think with me, what is the impossible that he was dealing with? It's outlined for us right here in this passage that we have just read. Abraham and Sarah had been promised a son, and through that son, all of the earth, all of the world was going to be blessed. He would have so many descendants through that son that they would be as innumerable as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And yet the promise of that son had not yet been fulfilled. And here Abraham is, he's 100 years old, and Sarah was 10 years his younger. She's 90 years old. Consider some of the wording of this passage that tells us how impossible it was for them to have a child at this age. Verse 19, it says that Abraham contemplated his own body now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. In other words, his days of being able to father a child are long gone. They're past. His body didn't have much vitality left to it. And things for Sarah were not any better. Also, verse 19, it says that Abraham considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. In reality, these two folks were a whole lot closer to the geriatric ward than what they were to the maternity ward. The chances of them having a child was about this much. It was nil. It was impossible for their bodies to have that kind of result. And yet this promise of God was still out there, unfulfilled. It seemed to be an impossible situation, but you know what? Abraham held on to this glimmer of hope that God could yet do the impossible. Consider the wording of Romans chapter 4. And this is why I'm saying to you, I think this is one of the best scriptures in all of the Bible having to do with faith. Verse 18, it says, "In hope against hope he believed." In other words, against all odds, Abraham's faith had not waned. He's still having hope that God is going to fulfill this promise to him and Sarah. Verse 19, it says he refused to become weak in faith. Verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. I like how the New Living Translation treats this verse. It says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. That's pretty amazing. Verse 21 says, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And so here we have Abraham and Sarah, 100 years old and 90 years old, respectfully, and they are looking to have this baby. It seems to be an impossible situation, and yet they are holding on to that hope. What was it that gave Abraham such a strong faith? I'm thinking that maybe he's reflecting back on God's faithfulness to him all through the years. God had never failed him, even one time. As he had left Haran and traveled to an unknown land, God had been with him and prospered him. And you remember when he and his nephew Lot separated from one another because their flocks were so large. Lot took the better piece of land and left Abraham with the desert. And Abraham was okay with that. And yet God blessed him. God prospered him. When Lot was taken captive by the four kings and their armies, Abraham gathered 318 of his own men and went to rescue Lot. And he got the job done with God's help. And not one of his men were lost in the battle. Later, Abraham watched from a distance as Sodom and Gomorrah had been destroyed and his nephew Lot was spared. He again saw the faithfulness of God. And all of this translated into a strong faith for Abraham that when God said, I'm going to give to you a son, even in your old age, all Abraham knew to do was to believe him. To hold on to that promise. And I wonder, are you and I able to trust God amidst the impossible? We still have reason to believe him, to trust him. His track record says to us that he is still a God who can do the impossible. Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Jeremiah chapter 32 verse 17 answers that question. It says, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Whatever it is you're facing, He is greater. Whatever it is that you are facing, He is stronger, He is able, and He is present. Think about that, that the God of this universe is present with you, and He is for you. So many of us here could stand up and just give testimony about how God has worked the impossible in our life. He is a God who specializes in the impossible. Matthew 19:26 says, "With God, all things are possible." Here's another insight about Abraham, this great man of faith. He listened to God's voice and obeyed. Now, as I'm working on this sermon this last week, I'm thinking, I have to be careful as I prepare these victory sermons that they don't all start sounding the same. This is the truth that we have to give emphasis to, and the truth is this: the victory is in Him, not in us. Would you say that with me? The victory is in Him, not in us. And that's a truth that I could emphasize to you every week as I preach to you. And there is an underlying theme that is consistent with these people through the Scripture, particularly the Old Testament, where we are looking at these days, a theme of them: as they have faith in Jesus, they also are obedient to God's voice. And we saw that with Noah last week. When God said, "Go build an ark," what did Noah do? He went and he started building an ark. He obeyed God. And here again today, it's true with Abraham. You cannot read Abraham's story there in those chapters of Genesis without seeing the emphasis upon obedience. When God told him to pack his bags and move from his homeland, that's what he did. And it couldn't have been an easy thing for Abraham to do. This is where his roots were. For 75 years, this is where he had lived. This is where his family was. This is where he grew up. This is all he knew. And yet when God told him to leave, he didn't even hesitate. I was thinking about this. We've got guys like Everett and Gary Johnson. I see Gary here. Two guys who have lived in this same area all of their life. How easy would it be for you to just all of a sudden pack up and move? It'd be hard. It would be a major challenge. And that is exactly the scenario of Abraham. He was 75 years old when God told him to pack his bags and move away. And he left his family. He left his home. He left all of his friends and those people that he was acquainted with. He left everything behind. Why? Because God told him to leave. Oh, by the way, God, where are we going? Where are you taking us? And God says, "I will show you." That's all God said. "I will show you." That wasn't a lot for Abraham to go on. And yet he obeyed God's voice and was willing to follow him wherever God might lead him. Now, here's the real kicker. After God had given him that child in his old age, what did God tell him to do with that child? "Take him to Mount Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering to me." It was a test to see how devoted Abraham would be to God. Genesis chapter 22, you can read it for yourself. It says, "Early the next morning, Abraham got up and headed towards Mount Moriah, and Isaac was with him." He could have pulled a Jonah at this point and run in the other direction, but he didn't. He listened to God's voice and he obeyed him, even to the point of being willing to give up his only son to God. That son of his old age, that son in whom all the promises of God were dependent upon. Wouldn't it have been easy for Abraham to argue with God at this point? To resist him. Wouldn't it have been easy for Abraham to try and educate God, saying, God, maybe you have forgotten the promise that through this son, all of the world will be blessed. Through this son, all of my descendants will be as innumerable as the stars of the sky, the sand on the seashore. God, you can't take away my only son. What are you thinking? You can't do this. But Abraham didn't do that with God. He didn't go that route. He simply obeyed God's voice, believing that if he sacrificed his son on that burnt offering, that God would raise him up from the dead. And in a sense, that's what God did. Because Abraham went so far as to raise his hand with the knife in it to kill his only son. And that's when God stopped him. You remember, God provided a lamb for Abraham. And Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh. Do you know what that means? The Lord will provide. He truly was amazing in his obedience to God. His faith was attentive to God's voice. And I'm wondering, how are we in our faith? And are we seeking to be attentive to God's voice? Are we seeking to obey him? This is the kind of faith response that God wants from every one of us. This is the kind of faith response that is victorious. That when God says, this is what I want you to do, that we do it. And you say, Kevin, I'm sorry, I could never do what Abraham did. Well, I'm right there with you. I don't think I could either. But let me remind you, that is exactly what God did for us. And that he gave up his only begotten son. Here's a third insight into Abraham. And this is especially important for us to understand. Abraham was not perfect. Sometimes, and I'm as guilty as the next preacher, and as we preach about these characters, these great men and women of faith, that we might tend to lift them up in such a way that they come across as perfect human beings whose faith is so remarkable and it's seemingly so unattainable for you and me. I don't want to be guilty of that. Abraham's faith was remarkable. But he was not a perfect human being. Abraham was a sinner. And the scripture is very clear about that. Twice in scripture, he lies about his wife being his sister. And so this great man of faith, whom we often put on a pedestal, he had his flaws too, just like you and me. Sin separates us from God. Let me read to you from Kyle Eidelman's book, Don't Give Up. He says, a side effect of sin is a creeping indifference to sin. More and more, the sin seems like less and less. Isn't that true? Let me read those sentences to you again, because I want you to get what's being said here. A side effect of sin is a creeping indifference to sin. More and more, the sin seems like less and less. Author Philip Yancey went out for a cup of coffee with a friend who admitted he was thinking of leaving his wife after 15 years of marriage. He had fallen for someone younger and prettier. Yancey's friend was a Christian man with three kids. He asked, "Do you think God can forgive something as awful as what I'm about to do?" In other words, he was asking, "Doesn't God have to give me another chance? Isn't God contractually obligated to forgive me and somehow work this out for my good down the road?" Yancey sat across the table from his friend for quite a while before answering the question, and here's what he finally said. "Can God forgive you? Of course. You know the Bible. The problem is the distance you'll place yourself from God. Sin does that. It kills our closeness to Him. Now you think of forgiveness, but will you want it then? Will you still care? God forgives. He doesn't change. The problem is we change. And sin changes us. Sin creates a distance between us and God. And sin is not anything to mess around with. The good news is when we do sin, there is a Redeemer, Jesus. We seek His forgiveness and we need to turn away from our sins. But we learn from Abraham, he wasn't a perfect person. Let me give to you one final insight about Abraham. He kept his eyes on the inheritance that was his. Hebrews 11, verse 10 says, "Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God." You know, if we could have that kind of faith, to keep our eyes on heaven, even as we live our life here on this earth, it would help us get through all the junk that we have to wade through. The troubles, the trials, the heartaches, all of that stuff that we face in this troubled world, if we will keep our eyes on Jesus, if we will keep our eyes on heaven, then the glory of heaven, amidst that glory, all of this junk in the world pales in comparison. And that's what was true of Abraham. As he journeyed through this life, the scripture says his eyes were on heaven. Could I encourage you to have that kind of faith? You want to know, how in the world can I get through these health issues? How can I get through all the darkness that is going on around us? How can I get through this hopelessness that is in the world? The way that you get through all of that is by keeping your eyes on Jesus and heaven. And He will get us through. Let's pray together. God, help us to have this kind of faith, to believe the impossible, to have a kind of faith that will obey you when you speak to us, that we would heed to your message. And Father, to look to you amidst our sin problem and to know that in you there is forgiveness, and Lord, that heaven is awaiting us. I just pray that this father of our faith, that his faith will impact us, that we will want to have Abraham's kind of faith. We need it in this dark world. Thank you for Jesus and the victory that we can have in Him. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If you have a decision on your heart, if you are needing faith, come, let us pray with you about that. Maybe you're needing Jesus as a Savior for the first time in your life. Come, let us help you with that. Let's sing together.